All right, let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 2 again. Matthew chapter 2. I want to encourage you to be back tonight, of course, at 6, but then on Tuesday, we will be having our candlelight Christmas Eve service, and I hope you'll be back for that. Service will be about an hour long. It won't be a full service. But we look forward every year to this, and I hope you'll be here. Invite somebody, come with you, and I will do my best to express the gospel as clearly as I can, and we'll hope to see some folks hear the gospel and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But that's Tuesday night. And of course, there will be no Wednesday night service because we'll be here Tuesday night, and that'll be our midweek service in the first part of the week, not the midweek. All right? Y'all awake? Yes. All right. Hold everybody, he speaketh. All right, good. All right, I want you to look at Matthew 2, please. And I want to just kind of familiarize you with the story here. I preached from this last week, and I'm going to take a little different approach to it this week. The story of the wise men, and you'll notice in verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. All right, now whenever the Bible is referring to the east, that is to the east of Jerusalem. All right, Jerusalem in the Bible is the center of the world. All right, and so they came from the east. They came from, history books tell us that they came from the Babylon area, the Chaldean descendants. They were the descendants of a people known as the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans were a very wealthy people. They were scholarly people. They are the ones who studied the stars and mapped out the stars, put them down on the map. They figured out the way the moon works and how the earth revolves around the sun. All those different things were Chaldean discoveries. They were very intelligent people, but as with most things that God gives, the devil takes and perverts it, all right? And that's what the devil did with the Chaldean understanding of the stars. That devolved into the zodiac and all of the signs in the skies and all that stuff that, you know, what sign are you born under, and that therefore has this effect on your personality, and that's all a bunch of hooey. You don't want to fall for that. Whatever you do, don't fall for that foolishness. The stars are up there for a reason. All right, God put them there for a reason, for harvest and for planting and so on and so forth. But to look up at the stars and figure out your horoscope is a horrible thing. All right, so don't go for that. That's a bunch of wickedness that came right out of a bunch of depraved minds. All right, you're welcome. That was free. All right, now, so that's the east. These men were studying the scriptures that were brought over to them during the time when Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar brought the scriptures to the Chaldean people. And so they were looking for the promised Messiah that those scriptures told about, how that the Messiah, the Redeemer of all men, would be coming. And those prophecies are all through the scripture. For example, in verse 6, you see the priest saying to King Herod, quoting Micah 5:2. And Micah 5:2 says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor." Notice that's capitalized. All right. So the scribes and all, they capitalized that letter because they knew that that was speaking of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, when he came. "And out of thee shall go a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel." So they had these scriptures, and they were studying them and reading them. And all of a sudden, here comes this star from heart to heart communicated to them in some fashion that they were to follow, and they did. And as I told you last week, that trip from Babylon down to Jerusalem is not an overnight little jaunt, okay? These wise men could not get on a Delta Airlines 747 and fly, down to Jerusalem. They could not do that. So they got in a caravan of people, and they came down to Jerusalem. And it took them, according to tradition and according to the Bible here, it took them about 2 years to get to where saw the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 9, it says, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Verse 11 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." All right, not her, him. They worshiped the Lord Jesus. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So they presented three gifts, which is causes people to say that there were three wise men. Well, there would have been a whole lot more than three. You would not have come across the desert and all those treacherous mountains and so forth. You wouldn't have done that with three men while carrying gold. You just would not have done that. And so they came to where the young child was. All right. So here's what I want us to do this morning. Let's pray. You keep your Bible open here, and I'm going to show you a little contrast, a little play on words that I want to speak on this morning. So let's pray first, and then the message. Father, thank you now for the opportunity we have to open your eternal word. And Father, I pray you'll bless. I pray you'll give me understanding and to help me say what I need to say. And Father, I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And we thank you for those who are watching online today. I pray you'll bless them richly. And Father, just give us something from heaven this morning that can benefit and strengthen and encourage us in the things of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, every person in this room has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone. You have some kind of a relationship. Now, I don't think that you would be here if you didn't. All right? I really don't think you'd be here if you didn't. I really think that, though, that everybody in here has a relationship, some kind of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that certainly is the case with the narrative that I just read for you from the Bible concerning that time period when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger until the time when the wise men came to the house and presented unto him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see, when Christ was born, the earth was immediately impacted by his coming into this earth. I mean, it impacted everything around him. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that we use the birth of Christ to distinguish between the old times and the new times. Jesus Christ is the benchmark that we use to say BC before Christ and AD after Christ. It's a Latin word, but it basically means after death. All right, so you've got the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the benchmark for this whole world. So these folks were impacted, and there were a lot of people impacted when the Lord Jesus came into this earth and was born in Bethlehem's manger. You've got the wise men that I just read their story. You've got King Herod, and I just referred to his story in these 12 verses. And you've got the people of Jerusalem, and you have Joseph and Mary, of course. And these are mentioned just in these 12 verses. Now, if you go over to the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find several other folks who were impacted by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Zacharias, and then you've got his wife Elizabeth, and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, and then you have in Luke 2 the shepherds, and you have, of course, the innkeeper. You have the angels of heaven who came and lit up the night sky to announce the birth of the Savior to those shepherds. And then you have the elderly priest, Simeon. And then you have the prophetess, Anna. I mean, there are several folks who were greatly impacted on that night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Every one of them influenced in some way. So all these people were impacted by Jesus coming. And notice, folks, this was before the Lord Jesus ever spoke one word. Now you think about that. He has not preached one sermon yet. And look at how much of the world is impacted. Isn't that amazing? He has not preached a sermon. He has not performed even one miracle yet. Or before This is before he ever healed a single person. And John said that if he wrote about all the things that Jesus did, that the earth, there would not be books enough on the earth to contain all that this man did and said. Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking about the person who has impacted this earth the most out of everyone and anyone who has ever lived. And so notice his influence upon mankind and others was already real, already visible for everyone who had eyes to see, for everyone to notice. And yet, I noticed something that just astounds my mind. You see, those who were, now just think about the grand scheme here, all right? Put it all in your mind. Let it all sink in. What I noticed is that those who were the farthest away from him came to worship him and to give him gifts and to honor him with their humbly bowing themselves before him. They were the ones that did that, who recognized him for who he is, were the ones that were the farthest away. And then I thought, wow, look at this. I mean, the folks who lived right in Bethlehem and the folks that lived right in Jerusalem, I mean, maybe even under the shadow of King Herod's newly built, renovated temple, completely missed his birth. Isn't that something? You would think that it would be the other way around, wouldn't you? You would think that those that were near would have just rushed down to the stable and pressed and did all they could to get in there so they could see the birth of the promised Redeemer. But they don't even show up. Oh, a few shepherds came. But that's the only record that we have. Just a few shepherds came. The greatest night to date that the world had ever seen, when the miracle of the virgin birth occurred and the Son of God was born into humanity. And the people of Jerusalem and the people of Bethlehem, those that were nearest, missed it. They missed it. Who saw it? Well, 2 years later, those who were the farthest away, they came near, while those near stayed far away. Amazing, isn't it? Now, every single person, think about it, folks, every single person that the scriptures mention in these two chapters of Matthew 2 and Luke 2, every single one of them missed the birth, except for the ones that were the farthest away. That to me is just astounding. The Old Testament promised Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born right under their noses, and yet all of them missed it. Herod missed it. The priest missed it. The scribes missed it. The lawyers missed it. I mean, think about it, folks. The ones that were right there They all missed him. That's sad. Every person in this room and every person listening to this in some form or fashion, every person is in one of these two groups that I just presented to you. You are either like the wise men who came searching from afar, or you are like the folks in Jerusalem and Bethlehem who were right there, but yet they missed the whole thing. Man, I remember before I was saved, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart. I knew that I needed the Lord. I knew it. My mother kept saying, let's go to church. Let's go to church. I didn't want to go to church. I had no desire to go to church. And she kept saying, let's go to church. And we would sit down to eat supper, and I would elbow my brother. She'd say, we need to pray, we need to pray. Wait, we need to pray. And I'd elbow my brother because I didn't want mom to pray. If she prayed, she would pray me out of hell as the best she knew how. I mean, in her mind, I was already there. I was destined and determined that that was where I was going to spend eternity. And she would just pray for God to save me. So I'd elbow my brother. I'd kick him under the table. Pray, you know. I didn't want her praying. But the Lord was convicting me. That's why I didn't want her praying. I wanted nothing to do with it. But, you know, when the Lord begins to work in your heart, you better pay attention. And it took a little while, a few months, but I yielded finally and agreed to go to church with her. And when I went to church, that preacher stuck his finger in my face and told me I was a sinner, and I got mad at him. How dare you? You don't know how many people have stopped me in the hallway, stuck their finger in my face in 29 years and said, how dare you call me a sinner? You know, I almost say, well, come on, let's go back in and we'll try it again. I would never do that, but, you know, hey, we're sinners. I mean, it's not me calling you a sinner, it's God calling you a sinner. Don't get mad at me, get mad at God. I didn't write what's in this book, so you can't get upset at me. But he said, you're a sinner, and that just made it all the more worse. We got out in the car, and my mom starts reviewing the message. I didn't want to hear it again. And I heard it all the way home. Then we sat down at lunch after church, and mom would say, boy, that was some sermon, wasn't it? Here she goes again. And sure enough, she'd start over. Wasn't that a good point he made? No, it wasn't. But that's how the Lord speaks to your heart. God uses his word to dig at your heart. And that's what he was doing. And so I was afar from God, I'll tell you that. I was as far away from God as I could be. But isn't that something, how the Lord draws those who are far off and brings them to the foot of the cross so they can see themselves in the light of the Word of God? Well, everybody in here is in one of those two groups. That's for sure. Which group are you in? Now, let me just point out a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to notice the far ones made near, the wise men. You see, these wise men, their culture was one of great learning and understanding. They wanted to the answers to their world around them. They were a people who were devoted and had devoted their lives to learning, and much of their learning, of course, led them to worship idols. They were idolaters. But these men, when they read the truth and then they saw the star, they sought to find the Redeemer, the Messiah, and they came some 500 miles away to or from the land of the Chaldean people to Jerusalem looking for the Redeemer. Now, first of all, notice they tirelessly searched for the Savior. They tirelessly searched. Most Bible scholars have written through the centuries that these wise men traveled in a huge caravan across the mountains and the deserts. There would have been a huge number of people in the caravan. You would not dare to cross a 500-mile trek carrying gold with you without protection. And these wise men saw the star, and they followed that star, which led them to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Right to Jerusalem. They knew that Jerusalem was the place where these scriptures had their foundation that they were reading. And as I said last Sunday, I think it took them 2 years to make the journey. And what kind of obstacles did they face? I don't know, but I figure there were plenty of obstacles that they had to overcome. One commentator whom I trust said it might have been such a large caravan of people and animals that they were not able to cover much distance every day. But they passed on for 2 years until they made their way to the door of King Herod. Now, folks, I want you to imagine this huge caravan of camels and of people and these wise men walking up, all decked out in their royal garments, their camels dressed in bright and elaborate colors, watch them as one unit ride into the city of Jerusalem and walk right up to the palace of Herod without fear, without shame, and forcefully ask, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" You see, dogged and diligent and determined, these men would not be denied. In verse 10, we read that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They simply followed the star. They followed the light that they had been given from God. And when they did, they were rewarded in a remarkable way. They were rewarded with finding the promised Messiah, the one who would one day sit upon the throne of David and rule and reign over the entire world. Now, folks, he has not done that yet, but he's going to. That's in the plan. That's in God's plan. I like that determination out of these guys, don't you? I like that. I was sitting as I was putting this together yesterday or earlier in the week. I was putting this together and I thought, you know, times sure have changed, haven't they? You know, I remember when I first went into the ministry, it was not uncommon for the phone to ring and somebody on the other end of the phone say, "Is this the preacher?" "Yeah." You're the pastor of so. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a question for you. Okay, ask away. And they would ask me something like this. I was told that you could tell a person how to get to heaven. Is that true? Is that true? And I would smile and say, well, yeah. You know, it's pretty cool when folks come looking for you. You know? When you don't have to go looking for them. And so this one fella called one day and he said that. And I said, yeah. I said, where do you live? And he told me where he lived. And I said, well, I know exactly where that is. I said, are you home right now? Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I are home. And can you come by? I said, yeah, I'll be right there. I'm 5 minutes away from you. So I got in the car, rode to the house. They were both standing out on the porch waiting on me. I got out of the car. We went in, sat down, and I took the Bible and very carefully and very clearly, to the best of my ability, explained to them how they could know that they're going to heaven. And I said, now, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? That man with tears in his eyes said, I certainly do. I said, what about you, ma'am? She said, oh, me too. So both of them prayed and received Christ as their Savior. I was sitting where I could look out the window out the back of their house. And there was a double-wide trailer out back. And I saw a car pull up and a woman get out of the car and go in the house. I just sat there casually watching what was going on. And he's rejoicing. He's telling me how thankful he was to get saved. And about that time, the phone rang. And so he reached up and said, excuse me, Pastor. Reached up, grabbed the phone. He said, this is probably my daughter. And so it was. And he said, oh, we just got saved. And she said, evidently, well, how'd that happen? Well, there's this young preacher here. I was young in that day. There's this young preacher here, and he just told us how to get saved. And so evidently she said, well, I want in on that. And so he said, well, what? Come on over. And so I'm sitting there just listening to this, and he said, you got a couple minutes? I said, sure. So I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I see this woman come back out of that double wide out back. And he said, oh, there she comes right now. And I thought, well, this was quick. She comes up, walks in, and says, the mother says, sit down. He wants to show you how you can get saved. So I sat down and showed her. And then her little daughter, about 9 years old, she came in the door, got off school bus, and came right in the door, and she got saved. And then about 10 minutes later, we're all sitting there rejoicing, and her husband pulls in, and he just raises the window and yells out the window and says, hey, come here. And so he shut the window. Guy turns around, comes up, sits down. He got saved. Amen. Folks, it was awesome. One afternoon, my church doubled. Isn't that great? And you know, they all got baptized. They all joined the church. And get ready, this is going to shock you. They came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now write that down. I mean, that's news right there. You know, I can remember back years ago when stuff like that would happen. I mean, you know, today, you can't get Christians to come to church. I don't know what's wrong with our society, but somewhere along the way, we have lost our urgency for God. Folks, when Jesus was born, those who were afar came with every ounce of energy and every desire that they ever had to find the Redeemer. And boy, they found him. They found him. I remember when I was far away and God began to shine light on my path, and a praying mother and a visit from the pastor and getting yelled at for being rude to the pastor, and a friend at school asking me to come to church with him. I mean, all these things happened, and you know what? God wouldn't let up on me. And I got saved. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. But then secondly, I want you to notice the near ones were afar off. This is so sad. I mean, let's just think for a minute. The near ones were afar off. You know, the Bible here tells us in verse 3 that there were a lot of folks troubled that these wise men showed up looking for the King of Kings. Look at verse 3. When Herod heard the king, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? And all Jerusalem with him. So everybody was all shook up. Isn't that amazing? They were all shook up. I mean, Herod was troubled by the news from the wise men. Why was Herod troubled? He was troubled because he thought he was going to lose his throne. Poor old proud Herod. But it also says that all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. I don't know, but I wonder how many of the folks in Jerusalem said after hearing the wise men, hey, listen, you wise men, don't be bringing that religious stuff around here. Won't you people leave? You're messing everything up. You ought to just leave. Man, I've had doors slammed in my face. Haven't you, soul winners? I've had dogs sicked on me. I jumped a fence one time in a heartbeat. I mean, boom, like that. I was over the fence. I amazed myself. And I didn't even split my britches. Oh, it was amazing. You ever do something and then you think, boy, I hope nobody saw that. But that was the biggest German Shepherd I ever saw. I knocked on the door, and boy, out from under that trailer he came, and I heard him, and then he ran around, and I saw him, and I took about 3 steps and leaped and made it. Thought it was a goner. Could these folks have been troubled because they were so at ease with their dried up, dead religion that they did not want some new gospel message coming along and shaking up the status quo? You see, the gospel interferes with our sinful ways, doesn't it? If I could go to all the unsaved folks in Carroll County and give them some kind of a truth serum, and then ask them, why have you not come to Christ for salvation? I mean, if this truth serum made you tell the truth, I wonder how many folks would say, well, Pastor, I would like to be saved, but I just simply do not want to give up my... And then they named their sin that they would rather serve than the living God. Oh, how easy it is for the near to be far away. But then I want you to notice, don't miss this, notice the hypocrisy in the near. You say, hypocrisy, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Let's first begin with King Herod. King Herod feigned like he was as obedient and as interested in the new king and finding him so that he could go and worship him also. That was a lie. He had no intentions of worshiping the Savior. He wanted to kill the Savior. Secondly, look at the priest. I mean, you talk about a bunch of hypocrites. These priests take the cake. Notice that they knew exactly what the Bible says about where the Messiah was to be born. They quoted the verse to the king hypocrite, I mean Herod. So I have a question. Why, if they knew all about the him coming and they knew where he was going to come, I submit to you, they would have had the same understanding that these wise men had. Why didn't they follow? Huh? Why didn't they follow? They should have been in a caravan right behind the wise men. They should have been going over and said, fellas, can we go with you? Can we follow? Well, we're not sure how far we got to go. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I mean, we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. Who cares how far it is? You with me? But no. No. Sadly, they were near, so near, but they missed him. And you know, folks, we can be just like them. We can be just like them. I mean, we can see the far coming near, but we can also contrast that and see the near who were actually so far away, they missed him. Where are you? Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions. I want you to be as honest with me as you can be. I wonder how many folks will say, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I've asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? You say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I know I'm redeemed. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven, and I know that. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I'm saved. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you, folks. Now, let me ask this question. Is there anyone who will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. So I want you to pray for me, Preacher. I need the Lord. I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand right now where you are and say, Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord. Would you just raise your hand and hold it up where I can see it and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that? All right, Father, you know our hearts this morning, and I pray that you will bless your word. I pray you'll help us to examine ourselves in the light of what we have heard this morning. May the word of God make a difference. May it touch our hearts and draw us to your side. And Father, thank you for these wise men and for the lessons that we can learn from them. And I pray that you'll bless their message to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.